for Ethos on the back of their wall. That's going to be, we're going to do everything we can to be inclusive. And like within that is going to be, you know, a series of community outreach sessions. I believe we're bringing in like Don't Shoot PDX, for instance, to share a little bit about the history of the Albina district. And how we can be inclusive in that manner, how we can include certain historical narratives, but at the same time, we want to envision futures for our youth and imagine diverse futures. So we're trying to put all that together as a crew. So that's part of the Street Ed program. It's not just like being in a classroom and talking about this stuff. It's like we're also going to go out to the streets and go hard in the paint, you know?
The best way to learn how to do anything.
Totally.
Yeah. Lucy, I think you were waiting also to ask a question.
Oh yeah. My question is so like since you've made art a part of your career, do you still take time to like make art for yourself that's not necessarily going to be seen by anybody, but like you just want to make it for fun?
Yeah, it's such a struggle. This is like honestly something I talk to my partner about at the end of the day frequently, and I want to have more time to make my own art. I get some time to doodle in my sketchbook a lot, but I never so frequently those doodles just stay as little doodles with pencil or pen. And then some notes at the bottom, like, if I ever get to this, I want to do this kind of coloration with this kind of paint, you know? But it's a really interesting question because I spent years trying to work myself up as a muralist, as a public a street artist. And most of the time I'm making work with, you know, sometimes I'll have like I said before, like a market that will say, hey, could you make us a mural? And I say to them, like, what can I do for what can I include for y'all? Right. And so it's never like just truly my work, as you're pointing out. And I think I'm finally getting to that point where I'm getting back to the studio with some time to make work. But honestly, it's been really depressing not having as much time as I used to make my own work, because now I'm just like brimming with ideas and I don't have a chance to get to it. I'm like, oh, I have the time to make work. And then someone's like, hey, could you come over and do this? I'm like, oh, please just give me some time. But I really like, I don't have the same amount of time I used to make that work. And I've been, it's because I had a little bit of time like that, like the kind of the whole shutdown that had happened last year was the first time I had years where I could just sit down and make work without thinking about like a client or a community or communities that I'm trying to include. And it felt really nice. It was like a very liberating moment. And it was fleeting, because then all of a sudden work started happening again, classes and new murals and stuff. But I've been doing what I can to make it so that at the end of the summer, I can just like teach a couple days a week and then get in the studio and have no more commissions for a while and just maybe make some new bodies of work, play with color a lot. That's what I'm looking forward to. But the struggle, yeah, it went from like years of struggling to find a good job and having all the time to make art, but like depressed about not having a job, so I didn't make that much work, to all of a sudden getting a job and now I'm depressed because I don't have time to make art and all I want to do is do that for myself, you know? But I'm slowly finding a balance. My therapist is helping me find that balance.
Lucy, I think this actually, the other question that you mentioned being curious about when we were prepping for the show, I think this is also like a good lead-in.
Oh, yeah. I was also wondering, like, did you always know that you wanted to incorporate art into your career, or did you have a different career path in mind? And like, if you did, what led you to become an artist?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's interesting, like, combining art and career together for me, because yes, like, my career, I would say at this point, is being an artist slash educator. And they obviously intersect for me, because I'm not like a teacher that teaches history. I'm a teacher that teaches different forms of art. But being an artist was just kind of like how I navigated the world. From such a young age, it was always like there's art supplies around my house, and I would just play around with them. I think I actually just had another student from the class that you ran, Ayana, ask me this question. I just wrote this out, and what I shared with them was, so I graduated college, and then I spent years just not doing anything, just traveling around and working. I'm sorry, actually, I went to a trade school for recording music and, you know, production and engineering music. New York chewed me up, spit me out. I was like, bye then. I'm not going to get chewed up and spit out anymore by you. You know, I'm over this. And then I came out to here, and then I was like, oh, there's no music industry. At least back then in 2007, I think it was, I moved here. Everyone that I got in touch with, I was like, hey, do you need an engineer? And they're like, oh, it's in like out of my basement, and it's just two of us. Like, we don't need, there was no like big studio that I could go work at as like an assistant engineer. So I was like, well, back to the drawing board. I went back to school, and I was like, you know what? I really want to get involved in like maybe with like some kind of like human rights organizations and stuff. So I went back to school for political science. And eventually when I got to PSU, I whittled it down to international development, and even more specific, focused in Latin America. So I started pursuing that path for about a year or so. And I remember one day I was in this Latin American economics class, which is something I wanted to know a lot about, you know, especially like post-colonial. Like, I was really interested in understanding what, like, you know, the economic structure of different Latin American countries have been. Like, especially I remember like learning about in Argentina some you know, factory workers who occupied a factory and then like created relationships with you know, some places throughout the rest of the country. They could get raw materials and told the U.S. corporations, they don't like, F you, you know, we're taking this thing over. And then they did amazing things. So I was really interested in that. But instead, I sat there for like an hour without realizing it, just like drawing in my book. Like, I was trying to get into art shows out here. It's my second year of living here, I think it was. And so I was more busy with thinking about like art pieces I could have for this like group show that I was going to be in. And all of a sudden I was like, I didn't write a single note. And I just heard the teacher go like, okay, hopefully y'all took good notes on that. We're going to have a quiz next week. And I was like, no. And I literally, I looked down and I was like pretty stoked on the art that I was making in my book. And I was like, you know what? I just closed it up. Like, literally walked out of class. Like, maybe it was during a break. Maybe I just had the gall to like get up and leave while the teacher was talking. Walked to admissions, was like, look, I have to switch to art. And somehow I was able to do that. I set myself back almost 2 years. So I ended up doing like 5 years at college. But that was a moment where I was like, you know what? Okay, like, I'm not going to try to avoid this anymore. Like, I'm going to take art really seriously. It's not just like, up until that point, it was just like what I do, you know? Like, you know, there's people I know who are like avid bird watchers. They're not like a career in bird watching. It's just what they love to do. And that's how I'd been with art up until that point. And then I realized, you know, maybe I can make it some sort of viable career path. And it was a struggle for years afterwards. Like, I was still trying to get in gallery shows, and I would, you know, show at cafes and restaurants, and I would sell enough pieces to be able to like afford rent, kind of. And then like the mural that I mentioned earlier that I did for that market kind of all of a sudden made me be like, all right, this thing that I've really loved more than anything else, which is street art and mural painting, I'm going to just keep doing that. And one thing that's cool about it is way bigger than the little paintings I was making for shows, so like group shows, so I could like get paid more money for them. And then all of a sudden I started getting comfortable, not comfortable financially, but I could at least afford rent for a couple of months. And that just made me realize, like, okay, if I can just keep putting all of my energy and time into making art, especially thinking about it in the streets, because at the time when I first started doing murals in the city, there wasn't that many. Actually, Portland for a long time made it really difficult to make murals. Like, the process to get a permit could take like a year. You had to pay a lot of money to be able to get that permit, permission on the wall. It's only in the last like half decade or so that they lightened up a lot of those laws. And which is why it's only last few years that I feel like we've been seeing this like quote golden age of street art and mural painting specifically. But at that moment I was like, I want to be part of this effort to bring more color and art to the streets, because the people deserve it. You know, not everyone is going to be able to take the time or has even the access to be able to go to galleries and see artwork. I want people to be able to go walk out into the world, you know, walk their dog, go walk with a friend, you know, on even headed to work or to the grocery store and be able to see art on that. So that was kind of like the impetus for me to like follow that, which became much more of a career path than being like a studio artist.
I kind of wanted to ask a little bit about your music and sort of the different bands that you played and been in. If you could just kind of tell us about that and yeah.
Yeah. Well, the same thing is like with my visual art. I can't escape the ADD that I have. So I have one band called Carrion Spring. A lot of people think I'm saying Carry On Spring, but it's Carrion as in like a dead creature. And it's I'd say it's an emotional hardcore band. It falls into that category. That band I started out here, I think it's been about 12 years now. I think we've been around somewhere around that. And actually that term Carrion Spring or whatever, those two words came from a writer whose name is Cioran, I think is how I would say it, like C-I-O-R-A-N. And he had this idea of Carrion Spring, which is like during the winter months, it snows and a lot of animals go into hibernation. And sadly enough, not all of them make it. And in the spring, the snow melts and there's some carrion just kind of laying about the floor of nature. But the thing is that they go and nurture new growth, right? Like they kind of enter back into the soil, new plants, new animals, that kind of thing. And Cioran had likened that to stages of development in our lives. Like sometimes we go into periods of hibernation and we can shed selves, but we can shed certain aspects of ourselves that can then nurture and make room for future selves and future growth. So it has like a really positive connotation. And that's a band that I've really poured a lot of myself into. But then I have another band I poured a lot of myself into called Said Goner, like S-A-I-D-G-O-N-E-R. The goner is, you're talking about might be that Said Goner or a quote Said Goner. That's been like a very personal project that is always really uneasy for me because I'm like, oh, I want to do music that sounds like this. And then I do it for a while and I release it and I've had the fortunate aspect of some record labels to release it. And it's so unnerving because I have no other band members to let me know, oh, this is good or bad, you know? And so it's like really taking a chance and putting something out into the world that I'm unsure of. And I've played in a lot of other bands. Like currently I play with this band called Ice Queens. That's really cool. They're kind of like a similar to like early Weezer, like 90s styled music. They're really, really impressive musicians. So I just play bass with them. And I have a bunch of other projects. I played drums for my first couple of years in Portland with a band called Logs that was actually kind of like Fugazi inspired. And I play a lot of other instruments too. Drums was the first instrument I learned from my father. He was a jazz drummer and he taught me quite a bit when I was younger. I love guitar and bass. I try to sing. I kind of play piano a bit, been learning over the years. And then because I have a background in music engineering and production, I have quite a bit of recording equipment, which has allowed me to learn a lot of instruments. And so I'll like write a song on guitar, but then all of a sudden I could play drums and bass and add keys. And so it's allowed me to like continue to develop as a musician and learn that way. And then I have another really cool project that is with, it's called Duracine, and it's with members from all over the country. And this has actually started before the pandemic. I feel like that's become a popular thing since like lockdown happened and all of a sudden musicians like, I'm bored. Who wants to do a project? And now we have like the accessibility of all this equipment, but we were straight up doing this like a couple years prior to that. And I get to just do vocals and write lyrics that I feel are pretty poetic. But again, it's really like abrasive, kind of hardcore. And currently I'm working on a new album with my band Carrion Spring and Said Goner album. And that, especially Said Goner album, I'm really excited. I felt like my last album kind of wandered. I got a RAC grant for that and I've got really conceptual with it, and I wrote, had to write down all of the like concept and statement of it, and I tried to follow that really, really like in accordance to what I had pitched to Rack, and I felt like it got a little convoluted and I got lost with it, and it's like the last year all of a sudden and I'm like, oh no, I remember who I am and what this project is. And so I got to write probably like 5 albums worth of music over the last year, but I've been able to call it down and in about 2/3 of the way through of recording a new album for that.
I know you mentioned that like you're not sure, like you don't have bandmates for the said Goner music that you produce to tell you whether or not like it's good, it's bad, but I had to listen to the song that you have on your website for said Goner. I really like that song. I think it was very, very, it resonated with me. I have like a my dad, he used to listen to like a lot of like soft rock. So I feel like out of all the music that you make, that the one that I really like the most, and I think it's really good. So.
Oh, thank you. So like that's the one band that I have that my mom's not like, oh, I don't know what you're saying, and like what, it's so loud. And like that's the band that I felt like was the opportunity for me, like me to reach beyond the scene of music I've been involved with literally since I'm a kid. I mean, I first time I screamed into a microphone, I was like probably 12 or 13. I was like, that's fun, that feels cool. Over the years, I'm like, I don't even listen to that music that much. So like, I should try to play more. So I appreciate you sharing that. That gives me a little bit more reason to continue.
Yeah.
Do you make some of the album covers, or like, does your bands or the people in your bands ever come to you?
Yeah, actually, I do pretty much all of the artwork. Yeah, I'm like, sometimes when like I don't think anything of this stuff, but then like I'll talk with someone about it, I'm like, what is wrong with me? Like I have to do everything. And it's funny because like my involvement with street art is like all about reaching out to communities and collaborate with people and stuff. Meanwhile, I'm like, I do the artwork on most of my albums, with most of my bands. All the said Goner artwork is my own. Actually, the last album that I did called Immutable Clarion, which was the album I mentioned, like I felt like it got a little convoluted just because I was lost in that album. The cover though I love, and I'm actually realizing I can't take credit for it. The cover is my dad took. He was a photographer. I mean, he still is a photographer. Not like he does it professionally or anything, but for a while he did. And I thought it was a really amazing photo that he had, and he gave it to me when I was a kid, and it stuck with me. But I did like all the layout and stuff with that. And then Carrie and Spring, almost every cover I did the artwork for, except for one, which was a trade. I had been recording a band and they didn't have money. And one of the members in that band were really good artists. And I was like, you know what? Instead of giving me money, why don't you just give me the artwork for one of my band's albums? But it's a different aesthetic from everything else that I've done with the band. And even my other band, Duracine, like I've done all the artwork with that. And I enjoy it, but yeah, it's a lot of work. And it's also weird to like not, you know, I think the beautiful thing about when art and music collide is the collaboration. The artist gets to like interpret what the musician does, and I kind of mess that process up by doing it myself.
Well, I guess for the final question, I'd like to ask if there is any advice that you would give to any upcoming artist or people who are interested in murals, music, whatever you want. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. When I was younger, I like had people like, oh, cool, you're into art and you make art. That's great. And that was like about the amount of support I got. No one was ever like, hey, if you continue pouring yourself into this and spending a lot of time when you find that time, like, you know, if you work 9 to 5 or whatever, 5 days a week, 4 days a week, whatever it is, if you're able to like free up even a few hours afterwards to like just make it a fun thing, to make it time that you get to spend with yourself. I wish I realized when I was younger, like that is the experience you gain to better understand yourself as an artist and to gain the experience so you can try to, I guess, quote, professionalize yourself in it. I think, you know, I feel like I shared this with the class when you were in Ayana. There's like Malcolm Gladwell has that like 10,000 hours devoted to anything can make you a master in it. And I think there might be some truth into that. I think there's always like opportunities out there. Like for instance, if you want to make murals, there's always going to be businesses that have blank walls, and you can eventually find a business that's like, you know what? Like that sounds cool. Like you just came to me with an idea to get artwork on here. I'm down. I'll kick you a couple $100 for materials and go make it. Now all of a sudden you have one piece of artwork out in the world that's like everyone can see, and you might get more work from it that way. Same thing. I remember one time I felt like I had an opportunity that completely got lost when I first moved here, and I went to an art gallery just to look. I had been told there was a good show there, and the gallery owner was like, hey, you look like you're an artist. And I was like, oh, I am. And she was like, can I see your portfolio? And I had like no portfolio then, yet I had a ton of artwork but like no photographs of it or anything. And I was like, oh, I only have an image of this and this, and it. And she was like, oh, okay, cool. And that was it. And if like I had organized myself, if I had taken decent pictures of everything I had, and I had thought about like what it would take to like make what we would say like a body of work so that they could see like 20 pieces like in the same kind of style, that could have potentially been like, hey, that's good. Let's maybe get you an opportunity to get you in this gallery. And so I think it's important to know like there's always opportunity out in the world for artists. How are you going to prepare yourself for it? And I think the preparation really comes down to that you know yourself, that you know your art enough that like you can make a bunch of it, you know? I think once you get to the point that you can say, I like this 20 pieces of art, you can put that together as what we would say a portfolio and go out to places. And I think that's one of the hardest things is being ambitious enough, confident enough to say, and you don't even be confident, but just try to get yourself to like go, if it's a mural, go to businesses, go to buildings that have a blank wall and say, hey, I have artwork and I have the drive to get something up there. You're going to eventually find someone that wants it. Or just, you know, if you find yourself at a cafe or a restaurant that has artwork on there, just ask them like, what does it take to see if I can get my artwork up on here? People are always looking for new artists, you know? And then we have social media these days too. Back when I first started, there wasn't social media, but now it's like the world of hashtags, you know, and that kind of stuff. But I really think it's like, unfortunately, it's like having to carve out time to put in to your work. But think about it as like, it's it's you learning more about yourself. You know, I always think of it as like, I could be spending time with a friend, you know, going out to the bluffs and, you know, having a, you know, drinking seltzer water and talking about cool stuff, or going to, you know, a restaurant and getting food with someone or whatever. Or I could spend time myself and pretend that I'm enjoying, not pretend, I am enjoying the time with myself, and I'm watching myself develop the way I could like learn more about another person if I'm being social with them. I think that's a really important aspect that I had understood when I was younger.
I guess last thing, anything that you would like to plug?
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of artwork of mine on my website, adambrockcirese.com, adambrockcirese.com. But I have a lot of murals up there, a lot of studio work up there. And I don't have much of a social media presence right now with the Street Ed program, but that's starting to take a fuller form, and I hope like within the next few months that I can have like a website that could share some of the experiences that are happening, especially which is coming up at Ethos Music School. And I encourage anyone that is listening to come and say hi to us. We'll be out there Monday, Wednesday, Friday, starting August 9th on through the end of the month. And it's going to be really exciting because it's not just like bringing out a bunch of younger artists, PPS students to make a mural. We're collaborating together. I'm going to be one of the artists working on the wall, Molly Mendoza, ideas from Ethos and the other communities that are going to be informing us of ideas for it. So I would say, rather than just like taking a chance to just go check out a website, like get out of your house and come see us and say hi would be really cool. Again, I believe that's August 9th that we start Monday, Wednesday, Friday throughout the rest of August.
And then social media handle?
Yeah, I think it's Adam Brock Cirese too. It's just, I made it easy enough. Yeah.
We're wrapping up, and I just want to let everybody know ways that they can find Art Talk Bus Stop on the internet. You can find us at arttalkbusstop.bandcamp.com. You can also stream us at kboo.fm. And you can find archives of the show on Bandcamp as well as on KBOO at kboo.fm/program/art-talk-bus-stop. And then I will also take a moment to plug something, which is that the cooperative printmaking studio that I'm a part of, which is called Flight 64, is having our first in-person show since the pandemic. And that is Thursday, August 26th from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. And that's at Flight 64, which is at 2934 Northeast Alberta Street. So thanks for listening, everybody, and tune in each month from 11 to noon. Starting this month is our first 1-hour episode, but monthly Art Talk Bus Stop airs now for an hour, 11 to 12, each fourth Wednesday of the month. Thanks for listening, everybody, and thanks for being our guest, Adam. It was great having you.
Thank you so much for having me. This is a wonderful opportunity. Y'all rule.
Thank you.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM. Hoy miércoles 28 de julio del 2021. Desde que se inyectó la primera vacuna de Pfizer contra el COVID-19 en el brazo de una mujer británica en diciembre del 2020, se han administrado cientos de millones de dosis de vacunas en todo el mundo. Decenas de países ahora tienen campañas de vacunación avanzadas mientras se apresuran a proteger a su gente y hacer que sus economías vuelvan a funcionar. Muchos se encuentran en una posición en que las personas más vulnerables están completamente vacunadas, lo que genera esperanzas de que los peores efectos de la pandemia hayan terminado. Al mismo